Thank you so much for hosting. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. And was requested I speak about Shalom Bias. This is the series on Shalom Bias. So my go-to book on Shalom Bias is this excellent book I use, The 10 Really Dumb Mistakes That Very Smart Couples Make. Ben Zion Shapir, fantastic book, very good, Mar Mokomos, good ideas, good stories, good research. So I'll begin with the following. And I'll ask you to answer the question. Feel free to call out. What is the most important skill in a good marriage? Okay. So he writes, if you were to present this question to a room full of people, I think most would say communication. That is, if you were asking a room full of women. If you were asking the question to a room full of men, I doubt that would be their answer. He writes, I've tried this time after time and found it to be true. Even though only two people answered, I imagine you were all thinking the same thing. An article in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology quotes a study of 264 couples who were asked this question. What is the most necessary factor to achieve satisfaction in your relationship? Almost all the women said communication. Almost none of the men gave that answer. Okay, so let's talk about communication. We'll talk about talking, about listening, speaking. So there's a Gemara that talks about the nighttime. The different sections of the night. The night begins. There's midnight. Is when the night ends. And the Gemara tells us there are different signs, symbols that let us know when the night begins, when it's the chatzos, and when it's the morning. Like a lion roaring and donkeys making noise. But the last symbol that tells us when the night is over, which means when the morning is beginning, is when the Gemara says, Isha misaperes el baila. The woman is talking to her husband. Now, why in the world is a woman talking to her husband at the crack of dawn? And why doesn't it say that they're talking to each other? It says the woman is talking to the husband. So, the Baal HaTurim writes, the name Chava. Chava was given the name Chava. What does the name Chava mean? The Baal HaTurim writes, it means Al Shem Shemachuha, which he defines to mean Lashon Sicha, speak. Women talk a lot. They talk a lot. The Gemara in Kedushin says there were 10 Kav, 10 portions of a speech. Brought into the world, 9 of the 10 were taken by women. 1/10 left for the men. So we understand why the Gemara says the Isha misaperes el baila because women talk a lot. And that's why they're talking at the crack of dawn. Women have the koach of speak. Now, men don't speak that much. It's a very big mismatch. Women talk a lot, men don't talk so much. Not only that, the most famous mission Pirkei Avos that young boys know is the following. Al tarbesicha im isha afilu im ishto. Don't speak a lot to a woman and not even to your wife. So now here we have women who talk a lot, men who don't. Men are also taught not to speak so much to women and certainly not even to their own wife. There's another mission in Pirkei Avos that says the 48 kinyanei Torah. The 48 ways to acquire, to achieve greatness in learning. One of the 48 is called miut sicha. Miut means to minimize your speech. If you want your husband to be a Talmud Chacham, to be a Ben Torah, he needs to stop talking. Miut sicha, stop talking, be quiet and learn. So we're told not to talk to women, we're told not to talk in general. What's the husband supposed to do? All the women want to do is talk, and the men don't want to talk. So Rav Ben Zion Shapir has further, in developing this question, he says, one marriage therapist describes watching this play out in real time. She was treating a couple and the husband told her that the best part of the relationship, this is the husband talking, was where they could sit together on the couch holding hands and listening to music. They didn't have to always be talking about something. Yet when the therapist spoke to his wife, her description was a bit different. Yeah, he'll just sit there like a lump of clay, not saying a word. There are times I get so angry with him, I want to hit him over the head with a bat. Probably the most common complaint marriage therapists hear from women is, we never talk. The most common complaint from men is all we do is talk. We talk, talk, talk. Now somebody's got to be wrong. So how do we deal with the situation where the women like to talk, Chazal teach us this, and the men don't like to talk as much? Research shows us that women on average speak 20,000 words a day. That's 13,000 more words than men speak. Men speak 7,000 words a day on average. Women speak 20,000 words a day. That's a lot. Our greatest leader, Moshe Rabbeinu, said, Lo ish dvarim anochi, I'm not a man of words. Our greatest leader for the men is Moshe Benu. He said, I'm not a big talker. I don't speak a lot. So we have a big problem. More developing the question. The Mishnah tells us in Avos, Shimon Beno, Reb Shimon, the great tzaddik Reb Shimon, Kol Yomai. My entire life, Gadalti Bein HaChachamim. I grew up amongst Chachamim. His father was a great rabbi, Rabbi Gamaliel. So he was, had a house full of rabbis coming over all the time. He asked them questions. He learned with them. What was the most important thing that he learned from the Chachamim? Again, Kol Yomai Gadalti Bein HaChachamim. I lived amongst the great Chachamim. V'lo Matzasi L'Guf Tov. You know what's best for the person, for the body? L'Matzasi L'Guf Tov El Shtika. Silence. That's the best thing for a person to be silent. Now, there's more. The great Rebbe Kiva. He's listing a number of great things to do. Siag L'Chachma. You know what the fence, the protection is for wisdom? You want to fill in the answer? Shtika. Now, Rebbe Kiva had it a little bit easier. He did leave his wife for 24 years to go learn the base medrash, so he didn't have such an issue. But at the end of the day, we're told not to talk so much. Miyotzicha. We're taught shtika is the best thing out there. So what are you supposed to do? Women like to talk. That's their nature, and men don't. My daughter has her friends over. I cannot follow these conversations. It's like a pinball machine. Boom, boom, and the level of the volume is through the roof. I don't know. So I need to leave the house to get like a little fresh breath of fresh air. So that being said, I'm not trying to be derogatory. Speech is a very special thing. And the truth is that speech is not bad at all. It's actually a very good thing. Speech is what separates humans from animals. That's what puts us above the level. It's a kedusha. The level of kedusha, a certain ruach that we have, and women have that koach. We don't have that koach. So it's not to put ladies down, chas v'shalom. It's a reality that women have, and it's a special koach, and it's something that men don't have. But lamaisa, what are you supposed to do about this? What do? The women want to talk, and the men don't want to talk so much. So we have to define what does sicha mean. When the Mishnah says, al tar b'sicha misha, well, how do you define sicha? You never find in the Torah anywhere where Hashem says, I don't know what the word would be, but vayosoach, vayomer Hashem, vayidaber Hashem, vayikra Hashem. He calls to Moshe, he calls to Aaron, he calls to Aram. Vayomer, he says, vayidaber, he speaks, vayikra, he calls. But you don't see lashon of Hashem siach. He doesn't have a conversation with him. What does siach mean? So the way the Me'iri is one of the great Rishonim. He has a perish on the Pirkei Avos. And the Me'iri says, Sicha means to, like, schmooze. No point, no purpose, no agenda. It means to schmooze with someone. Vayomer, Vayidaber is a language that you have a purpose, there's an agenda. You're talking about something. You're talking about your children. You're talking about chinuch. You're talking about shaduchim. You're talking about parnas. You're talking about the house issues. You're talking about camp, yeshivas. You're talking about chesed. You're talking about Torah. Sicha is none of that. Sicha is, you're just schmoozing, just shooting the breeze, just talking about life, but no purpose, no goal, no agenda. So you could talk all the as much as you want if there's a purpose. If you're talking about the parsha, you're talking about the Pirkei Avos, you could talk as much as you want. That's not sicha. Sicha is just schmoozing. Now this isn't to say schmoozing is bad. We're just saying too much schmoozing could be excessive. So what does that mean exactly? So you have to have a purpose. We have a few places where we find sicha, schmoozing, is actually quite appropriate. As I mentioned before, the Mishnah in Avos, that says there are 48 ways to acquire Torah. One time, Rav Weinberg and I, and Charlie Yosef for that matter, three of us went to a OU convention. It goes back before COVID, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. They took us to the Blue Ridge Mountains, the northern part of Georgia. A nice campus there. We stayed in these bunkhouses, and there were 3 days of rabbis from throughout the country. And since it was OU, so they had an NCSY flavor to it, that the day one, all the rabbis, from as little as myself to as great as Rav Weinberger, had to stand up in a big circle and go around the room and say your name, where you're from, what do you do, and your favorite chazal. So 50 rabbis had to do that. I was okay doing this. Rav Weinberger, I felt it was a little bit belittling to him, but he did it. He was a good sport. So I said the following, and it was not necessarily my favorite statement, but it was appropriate for the time. So I said that there's the Mishnah Avos that says the 48 ways to acquire Torah. It happens to be this past Shabbos, I spoke, I'm not sure who was there, but there was a Rebbe, Rebbe Kirsch, who's a Rebbe in Hafter still, I think, right? Rebbe in Hafter. He was there for the Simcha, for the Shav Rachos. And afterwards he came up and told me this idea, which I knew, but I didn't know the background of this story. So he said that there was one time a person from Vilna. And a certain Rav said, oh, you come from where the Gra lived in Vilna. Could you tell me something that the Vilna Gaon said? So he wasn't a very bright individual, a very simple person, but he said, I remember one thing the Gra said. So what did the Gra say? The Vilna Gaon explained that when it has 48 Kinyanei Torah, you want to achieve greatness, you can never achieve greatness by miut sicha, by lessening something. It's always about doing something proactive, not about minimizing. You want to do something good, you want to become great, you have to be proactive. So what does miut sicha mean? It means not to talk so much, but that's not in line with everything else in the Mishnah is about what you should do, not what you should not do. So the Gros is as follows. Miut sicha means when you're learning, you're supposed to have breaks, pauses. You should schmooze. It's healthy for a chavrusa to schmooze. I know my son's in yeshiva. Sometimes the Rebbe will say, you're learning too much. Go play ball. Take a little break. Go outside. Go for a walk. It's healthy to have a little break. It's healthy to schmooze a little bit. So we're not saying you shouldn't schmooze. There certainly is a place to schmooze, and it's encouraged and necessary. Part of the relationship, how people get to know each other, even after marriage for many, many years. But that's one place where we see it's relevant to schmooze, even if there's not a purpose or an agenda. Another example we have, Yitzchak Avinu davened mincha. Anyone know the pasuk that describes his davening of mincha? Asuach basad. Asuach is lashon of sicha, to shmooze. It's a very strange way to describe davening, is shmoozing and davening. So the understanding is that Yitzchak Avinu was on such a level that even when he shmoozed, he was talking to Hashem. He was talking, when he had a conversation, he saw Hashem in his conversation. When he's driving to work, he saw Hashem in his driving to work. And everything mundane in his life, he saw Hashem. So even a shmooze could have tefillah, could have Hashem present there. And then the Gemara tells us that we have to learn even from the sichasam shel talmid chacham tzricha liman. You have to learn even from the mundane conversations that a talmid chacham has. There's a lot to learn. See how he speaks, how nice he is. Even from the sichasam, even from the shmoozing. I mean, even talmid chachamim also schmooze. So we see from all this, there definitely is a place to schmooze. I'm not saying that the only conversations with the husband should be about, okay, what's the agenda? Okay, what's the meeting about? Okay, we're talking about the girls, the boys, the yeshiva, the seminary, the shidduch, the part. No. There's talking with purpose, but there's also a time to schmooze. The question is how much? I don't have an answer how much. All I'm saying is when you get upset at your husband because he's not talking so much, that's the nature of a man. He's trying. Just trust me, when I give a schmooze to the men also, I tell them they have to work on things, you have to schmooze more, okay? It's not just about a purpose and watching your whatever games or whatever you're doing, you have to schmooze also. You have to meet somewhere in the middle. So I'm saying you're going from 90% women who took 90% talk to men who took 10% of speech. It's a big discrepancy. So I'm just, have rachmanis on them, all right? They're working on it. They're going to get there, but we see there's a big difference of what speech is about. Now I want to make another suggestion of how to deal with the women's want and desire and needs and capability of speaking a lot, and the men's inability to speak so much. And that's as follows. Tonight starts the 3 weeks. If you didn't get a haircut, it's too late. I just got a text a few minutes ago. I forgot to shave. Can I still shave? You missed it by 5 minutes. We're ready in the zone of 3 weeks. All right, I'll have a beard an extra day. Not a big deal. But we are now in the 3 weeks. And there are 3 weeks that end up being 9 days. And the Svarim point out that three, Gimel's three, and nine is Tes. Right? 3 and 9, 3 weeks, 9 days is Gimel Tes, that's a get. So this time period represents a separation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. There's a big separation. Hashem's the husband, if you will. Klai Yisrael, we are the Kala. There's a separation for these 3 weeks, 9 days, hidden by the get, Gimel Tes. Now we're trying to draw back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connect, to communicate to Hashem. How do we communicate to Hashem? There are two ways. One is tefillah. We daven is us speaking to Hashem. Torah, when we learn, is Hashem speaking to us. We are reading His Torah, we're reading His messages, we're listening to His shiurim. There's this conversation that goes on between us and Hashem. There's communication. I want to suggest the following. I don't know if anyone does or not, but I highly recommend a chavrusa with your spouse. I would not recommend this to a newlywed, especially if the chassan is learning in kolo. Either, I'm not sure if any of your boys are learning in kolo, but once they hit the base medrash in yeshiva, the way they talk is very different. the conversations is not about Divrei Torah and the Parsha. It's like sugyas and lomdas, and I talk really, really fast, and like, it won't be a good chavrusa. The boys have enough hard enough time finding their own chavrusa amongst other boys to match up. It shouldn't be with their wives at that age. They're still developing their minds and learning how to speak, but when they get older, around our age, where they're more refined and more polished and slower and easier to talk to, so then I think it's a healthy thing when we're mature to have a chavrusa, to learn. That's not sicha. That's a purpose. It will fill the need to talk and to connect through speech, and will add an incredible amount of kedusha into the home, incredible amount of kedusha into your relationship. I just came across, I don't know much about him, but the family name Margolios is a very chashuv name. It goes back many, many generations. And I came across a quotation from Rabbi Shaya Usher Zelig Margolios, who was a great mekubel in the earlier part of the 20th century. He learned by many of the Hasidic Rebbes, and he said the following in a sefer of his. Shechavaso, there's a requirement, an obligation, he writes, Sheyilamed im ishto, to learn with one's wife, ubnei beso, and his children, b'sifrei musar, v'yiras Hashem, to meet them, kisidron, to go through a sefer with them. He suggests musar. There could be other topics, I'm sure, learning other things like Tanakh may have been a little bit too liberal for him back in the 20th century. Now, women are learning certainly a lot more. But he says to learn together, b'yichud, together, like a chabura, on Shabbos and Yontif, to sit around the table and to learn. He says that's not called the tarvasicha. That's not called excessive conversation. That's called connection. That's called connection. I remember reading Rabbi Yitzchak Kanievsky. She liked mathematics. And she would oftentimes go for a walk with her husband and Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim didn't know much outside of Torah. I mean, that's all he really cared about, which is great. So what were the conversations? They were about Torah. She liked math, so she always asked him to tell her, a very complicated sugya in the Gemara about mathematics. I think it had to do with constellations, maybe, the different mazalos and the moon and the sun. I don't know what it was exactly, but their conversation was about Torah and math. Now, I don't think it should be excessive, the learning. I think you should start small. If you're going to take this advice, I think maybe 10 minutes a week, 20 minutes a week could be good. I wouldn't do every night. You start too much, it's not going to last. Start once a week, maybe, something small. My wife and I, we just started Sefer Yeshua. We started Sefer Yeshua, started learning the first few psukim. It's a lot of fun, a lot of fun. You could use Yeshua, you could do something else. Pirkei Avos, we used to learn together. It's a very, very chashuv thing. I know a friend of mine, he and his wife learned through Hilchos Lashon Hara together. It's a nice thing. And I would add, not only a husband and wife, but Randy's sister-in-law, my sister-in-law, her brother's, older brother's wife, their whole family, okay, I could share this now. I think it's a beautiful thing. I think every Thursday night that her family, all the kids get in a phone call and they learn together Hilchos Kiddush Ava'im as a way, as a group, to, you know, their parents are getting older, how to show proper kavod. I found out also recently the Carmelis do the same thing. Shlomo told me that he and the siblings, he missed the shir one night. He said, we had to make up. We usually went Lemotzei Shabbos, but it couldn't work out. So this week we had to do Tuesday night. And they learned together Hilchos Kiddush Ava'im. To learn together. It's great bonding as a family, as siblings, and it's great just as a purpose. So that's a recommendation. Try to carve out 10 minutes a week to learn something with the spouse. It will be sicha, the sicha of kedusha. I think it's something to think about. That's point one. That's about talking. The next three Shabbosos of the 3 weeks, the three Haftoros, they all start with the following words. It begins first Divrei this week, Shimu and Chazon. Divrei is speaking, which we just discussed. Then there's Shimu, listening, and Chazon, which is seeing. So I'm not going to discuss Chazon, but I want to discuss the next week. We spoke Divrei, now Shimu, to listen. Let's talk about how to listen, how to hear, how to pay attention. So this week's Parsha happens to be, in Parsha Pinchas, it goes through a number of the different families. And one family's name is called Mishpachas Ha'ozni. Interesting name. And Rashi there says, this is the name that's found elsewhere in the Torah called Mishpachas Etzbon. So why did they change their name? Ozni to Etzbon. So the Shla says the following. The Shla writes, there's a Gemara in Ksubas that says, asks, why is our fingers start off thick and then go skinny towards the end? Why is it like a peg? And the Gemara answers, so if a person hears Lashon Hara, he should stick his finger in his ear, so he shouldn't hear. That's what the Gemara says. So that's the reference here. Ozni means ear. Etzbon means etzbaos, his fingers. It's a reference to that this family would stick their fingers in their ears as to not listen to Lashon Hara. That's the Shlom. Now he asks, why did they change the name though? Why is it now called Ozni, ears, but previously they referred to as fingers? Etzbaosav. So he has a great chap. This family was found in Shevet Gad. Shevet Gad's two neighboring Shvatim were Reuven and Shimon. What was special? I shouldn't say special, but what was different about Reuven and Shimon? That Reuven was Zocha to have Korach Vadaso came from Reuven. Not a very good neighbor. Shimon, this week's Parsha, Cosby. The whole mice of this week's Parsha and last week's Parsha, Cosby, came from Shimon. So he had very bad neighbors. Shevet Gad was against next to Shevet Shimon and who's the other one? Reuven. And they were bad neighbors. So up until this point, they would put their fingers in their ears because they want to hear the Lashon Hara from Korach Vadaso and Cosby. They were called the Etzbon. But after this week's Parsha, after Korach gets wiped out a couple weeks ago, and Cosby gets wiped out this week, now they're free of any bad people, and now they can take their fingers out, and Ozni, their ears were now open, accessible, they could listen to all the conversations, all the Sicha. That's what comes out from this beautiful idea from the Shlom. Now, this concept of listening, it's funny, Rev Ben Zion Shafir has this conversation. You go to different sides of the Mechitza on a Kiddush. So the woman's side of the Kiddush, the conversations go like this. Woman A says, talk, talk, talk. And she says, wow, interesting. More talk, talk, talk. Ah, very nice. Okay, good. More talk, talk, talk. Beautiful, so nice. Men's conversation is, talk, talk, talk. More talk, talk, talk. More talk, talk, talk. There's no, ooh, ah, wow, great, so nice. None of that's going on the men's side. They're just having a conversation, but there's no, like, validation at all. So women need validation. They need to be heard. They need to be acknowledged. They need their feelings to be recognized. Men don't care for it at all. They're not wired that way. They don't care for it. They happen to dislike when you validate their words also. Like if, you dropped an egg, you made a big mess. Your wife's like, oh, I feel so bad for you. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. I made a mistake. Okay, you're telling them a story. They don't want to say, oh, that must be so painful. No, they don't want to hear that. They're just telling you a story. They're just telling you something. Women want to hear validation all day long. I love it because my kids, when they're younger, and I guess Raisie, she's still young, when she gets hurt, she's like whimpering a little bit. So I love just like giving her puppy face and say, oh, that must really hurt you. And she comes bawling and crying to my head, give me a big hug, because that's, they want to be validated. They want their feelings to be heard. It makes them feel better. And she starts to cry because I just connected to her feelings, which is great. Kids love it. Women love it. Men hate it. So that's another big problem. When men are listening, they're listening, but they're not saying, ooh, wow, interesting. Oh, it must really be painful. It must be really hard for you. Oh. That's a big discrepancy between men and women listening. Now, I do want to say that although men don't care for it, there are instances where men do want it, where men do need it. If it's something, something terrible happened, if it's a terrible situation, they need sympathy. They do. But they don't want to admit it. They're too macho. But they don't want it all the time. In certain instances, save it for certain situations, but don't use it excessively. Now, at the same time, women have to understand that since men are wired differently, that you can't expect the men to always validate their words. You can't validate everything that happens. If you break a nail, you can't expect them to say, oh, that must be really, really bad, really annoying, really frustrating. You have to understand men and women come from different angles. Men starting at 0, women are starting at 100, if they meet somewhere in the middle. Now, as I said earlier, I give men a Musa Shmuz this past Shabbos, the Shal Shudas. So there's a Sheva Brachos. I didn't know there was a Sheva Brachos, so I had to address the Chasan and Kala. So I spoke about the importance of men validating women. I spoke about that. So I do speak to them also about it. So I'm trying to tell a woman, expect it less. Trying to tell a man, do it more, and then hopefully you meet it somewhere in the middle that they'll validate more than they usually do. But I'm asking you, have rachmanis on them. They're not always so good at it. This is not how we're wired. So, and if it's done too much to them, they have a distaste for it. It can't be too much. So that's the piece about listening. Now, when it comes to Nasa Venishma, we said that men by nature, Nasa Venishma means Nasa, we did before Nishma. We're not good listeners. Just that's how we are. We're not good listeners. We accepted the Torah before we actually understood what was in the Torah. We like to do things. We don't like to listen so much. But we're working on it. We're getting there. It's an avoda we have, but it only works well if the women also could understand and have compassion that men, it takes them a while. They're going to learn how to validate, but again, lower the expectations. Let me show what time it is. So there's a great story. There's a great story in the Gemara. There's a great tzaddik named Rav Elish. Rav Elish, he doesn't come up that often. He's once held in captivity. I'll tell you the whole background. I wasn't going to say this part, but I'll say it anyway, since it's a Shalom Bayis shir, a lot about women. So Rav Nachman had a couple of daughters, Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was a great tzaddik. I think he was a son-in-law of the Reish Galusa, maybe. And his daughters were great tzidkanios, that they would actually, they would mix a soup, hot soup, with their hands. They wouldn't use a ladle. They put their hands in the hot soup. And he was so confused by that. How could that be? They must be such great people. And the Gemara says one time, Rav Elish was taken captivity by some non-Jews, and Rav Nachman's daughters were also taken away. And there, Rav Elish was sitting in jail in captivity, and he had a non-Jewish jailmate next to him. And this jailmate understood the bird language. That was a skill he had. He learned the bird language. So one time a raven came. A raven started to make some noise. So Rav Elish asked his new friend, "What's the raven saying?" So the raven says, "Elish, Baruch, run away. Elish, Baruch, run away. Now's your chance. Go, run away. They're not going to catch you." Rav Elish says, "I don't trust ravens. Ravens are liars." Okay. A little while later, a yonah came. The yonah starts to make some noise. So Rav Elish turns to his friend and says, "Well, what's he saying?" The yonah says, "Elish, Baruch. Elish, run away. Now's your chance." So Rav Elish says, "Well, a yonah, Klal Yisrael is compared to a yonah. I like yonahs. I trust the yonah." So he, as an aside, he went to check on the daughters of Rav Nachman if they wanted to come with him. He said, this is funny, it wasn't my intention, but he said that women talk a lot in the bathroom. I'm going to go sneak up in the bathroom and see what they're saying. Overheard what they're saying, some inappropriate thing. He says, I'm leaving them here by themselves. I don't trust them. He ran off. He experienced some nais, and he was saved. That's the Gemara. Gemara says that. He was saved. So the Rabbi Kiva Eger asks the following question. Rabbi Kiva Eger says there's another sefer that says Rav Elish actually knew bird language himself. So he asks the question, if he knew bird language, why is he asking his friend what the birds were saying? He knew what the raven was saying. He knew what the yonah was saying. Why was he asking his friend? So this is the chat Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz explains. Chaim Shmuel Levitz from the Mir explains that when we listen to something, we want to hear what we want to hear. He brings this as a riot from Bilam. Hashem told Bilam, don't go. Last week's parsha says, don't go with Sari Balak. Bilam interpreted that to mean, Hashem means don't go with these people, but you should go with much greater officers than them. That was his interpretation. Because Bilam wanted to hear that he was the most special person in the world, he deserves greater kavod, so he heard what he wanted to hear. Hashem said, don't go at all. He says, no, Hashem means don't go with them, go with people much greater, greater kavod. So says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, people hear what they want to hear. We don't always pay attention to what they're actually saying. What were the two words Rav Elish wanted to hear more than anything? He wanted to hear Elish Baruch, Elish Baruch. He wanted to hear those words. He didn't trust himself, because that's what he was looking for. So he needed to ask this friend of his, who also knew bird language, and once he ascertained that he knew it correctly, they interpreted the raven correctly, that was just a test to make sure he knew the bird language. But he didn't actually trust the raven, because the ravens are liars, but that was a test to make sure he knows bird language. Now move over to the yonah. He was hoping he says the words also, Elish Baruch, I hear those words, but I don't trust myself. Let me ask my friend. I know he knows bird language, and he said the same thing. And that's what he says. When it comes to listening, you have to be able to not listen what you want to hear, but listen to what the other person wants to tell you. So part of the validation, which is again for the women, but also the men, that men are not there yet. People hear what they want to hear. They don't pay attention all the time. They're not saying the oohs and the ahs and all that you want to hear and that you need to hear, because we are all humans in general. We're all limited to hearing what we want to hear. And since men are not accustomed or interested in hearing validation to their own words, they're not good at giving the validation themselves. But they're getting there. We're working on it. But that's the big lesson. So I want to finish off with the following great maisa. There's a great, great tzaddik, a great rav posek, the shach, Shabsi HaKohen. The Shach wrote perhaps the most important commentary on Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, there are four sections of Shulchan Aruch. He has a commentary on two of them, on what's called Yardaya. Yardaya discusses that which is Aser, Basar B'Chalav, for example, and there's another section called Choshen Mishpat, which deals with monetary laws. So the Shach was a great, great Rav. He was actually very young when he wrote this. The Taz, who is a lot older, the Taz also has a commentary. The Taz wrote his commentary much earlier, and the Shach was young when he wrote it, maybe in his 20s. And the Taz was actually a little upset that this little 20-year-old wrote a Perish against him, but either way, the Shach was a great Tzaddik at a very young age. So one time, the Shach himself was in the Din Torah. Someone said that you owe me money. Shach, you owe me money. The Shach says, no, I don't. He says, yes, you do. So the Shach said, let me learn the Sugya. Whatever the case was about, he started to look into the Gemara and look into the commentaries, looking into the Shulchan Aruch, looking into the Boskim. He says, I learned the whole Sugya. I don't owe you money. You're wrong. He says, yes, you do. I'm going to take you to a Bezdin. We're going to go to a Bezdin. So the Shach says, let me look in the Sugya one more time. He learned the Sugya. He went through the Gemara, went through the commentators, went to the Mefarshim. I don't owe you money, but we'll go to a Din Torah. If you're taking to a Bezdin, you have to go to the Bezdin. So the Shach and this individual went to the Bezdin. And the Bezdin, they presented the case of Bezdin Paskin. The Shach owes money. The Shach says, okay, I'm willing to pay, but just I ask you, I'm not going to change my mind. Here's the money. But just explain to me what the basis is. I want to know how. That's all. I'm just curious how you got to the conclusion that I owe money. So the Bezdin took him to a shelf of Sfarim and pulled out a sefer entitled The Shach. The sefer that the Shach himself wrote was against him, that he owes money. And the lesson being, even someone as great as the Shach, when you're Nogei Badavar, you hear what you want to hear. You can be blinded by even your own books, by your own Sfarim, you can be blinded by even great tzaddikim. Rav Elish, a great tzaddik, he was blinded by what he wanted to hear. So oftentimes in life, we hear what we want to hear, but the lesson is we're supposed to hear what the other person wants to really tell them. So I guess in conclusion, the point is that it's mostly just for the women to have an understanding of the men. That men are not good talkers, men are not good listeners. We're working on both them. Have compassion, very little for you to work on. All you have to work on, in my opinion, is have your expectations much lower. Don't expect so much talking. Don't expect so much listening. And they're getting there. They're trying. They're trying to grow. But the higher you raise expectations, the harder it will be for them. Because men don't like expectations. They don't like people to tell them what to do. That's just how we are. You tell me to do this, I dafka won't do it. So if you keep raising the bar, that's how it is. I'm just being honest. That's how it is. From little boys to adult men, many times they don't like to be told what to do. So it's much easier if you want a guy to do something, try to get him to do it on his own. Then that's another thing, manipulation of some sort, you've done in a healthy way. But telling them directly, much harder to get the response you want, as opposed to letting them come to the same decision on their own. It's Hashem with that, we should be zocha not only in our own homes, our own shalom bayis, but the shalom in the greater part of the world, the divrei and the shimu and the chazon of all the haftarah should all come true. We should reconnect with the Kaddish Baruch Hu with the Gula Shem about Mitas. Here, Amen, Amen, Amen.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.